From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Efforts to clean up the oil in the Gulf of Mexico are moving closer to shore. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen says he's focusing on preparing 2,000 private vessels to help out. Eileen Fleming of member station WWNO reports that it's part of BP's program to get local fishermen involved in the response.
The Coast Guard will be outfitting the smaller vessels with communication and tracking equipment needed for skimming operations.
This is something that is on a scale that far exceeds anything we've done in a domestic response before, but it's also an indication of the willingness and the passion of local people to get involved and help us in this cleanup. So the whole issue moving forward is going to be unity of effort.
Allen says the boats will be deployed as far as 15 miles offshore. He says three more aircraft have been sent to the New Orleans region to help keep track of the spill. Allen says he wants a clear command structure set up by next week. For NPR News, I'm Eileen Fleming in New Orleans.
A fast-moving line of thunderstorms packing hurricane-force winds that raced through the Midwest knocked down trees and power lines. Windows were even blown out of the nation's tallest building. NPR's David Shaper has details on the aftermath from Chicago.
Chicago police have the streets and sidewalks around the 110-story high Willis Tower blocked off after strong wind gusts, some clocked at 77 miles an hour, blew out a couple of windows in the skyscraper, formerly known as the Sears Tower. Police say no one was hurt by the falling glass, but flying debris and falling trees and tree limbs elsewhere in the city caused at least a handful of injuries. Power company ComEd reports close to 200,000 homes and businesses were without electricity. The powerful line of storms with heavy rains and dangerous lightning originated in Iowa Friday morning, where wind gusts reportedly hit 80 miles an hour. There were widespread reports of wind damage, flash floods, and power outages as the storms quickly moved east through Iowa and Illinois into Indiana and Michigan. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
The thunderstorms that swept through the Midwest killed a motorist. Sheriff's officials say the driver died about 40 miles west of Detroit. The Chinese vice president has arrived in Australia at the head of a large business delegation for a visit that will focus on trade and economic issues. The BBC's Nick Bryant has that story from Sydney.
This was supposed to be the weekend that Barack Obama visited Australia, a trip postponed because of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. So instead, it's Xi Jinping, the Chinese vice president, and a man widely seen as Hu Jintao's heir apparent, who is attracting the attention. Through a quirk of scheduling, then, it throws up some curious diplomatic symbolism, illustrating how Australia is being pulled in different directions at the start of what many regard as the Asian century, as the country balances its defence alliance with America and its commercial relationship with China, its number one trading partner.
The BBC's Nick Bryant reporting from Sydney. And from Washington, this is NPR News. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is banning a common pesticide used by farmers. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, Josephine Bennett explains what's behind the move.
The EPA says the chemical endosulfan poses an unacceptable risk to farm workers and wildlife and lasts in the soil for years before breaking down. Last year, farmers in the U.S. used 700 tons of it. Tommy Gray with the Georgia Department of Agriculture says the insecticide is widely used because it's inexpensive and effective on many bugs. However, there are other chemicals available.
They're less toxic to workers and those handling the pesticides. So it's just going to require some pest management changes for some of our growers.
Endosulfan is sprayed from the ground and the air. It's used on cotton, strawberries, and many vegetables. Gray expects it to be phased out by the next growing season. For NPR News, I'm Josephine Bennett in Macon, Georgia.
In Yemen, armed men have attacked a police headquarters in the southern port city of Aden. Witnesses describe a heavy exchange of gunfire and smoke rising from the area. Casualties are unclear. The gunmen are believed to be linked to al-Qaeda. Officials say they made their way into the building's detention facility where al-Qaeda suspects are often held. Suspected Kurdish rebels have attacked a military post in Turkey near the border with Iraq. The Turkish military says the attack sparked clashes in which at least 7 soldiers and a dozen Kurdish fighters died. At least 8 other Turkish soldiers were wounded. There has been an increase in violence in the mainly Kurdish southeast of Turkey in recent weeks. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.